Let's all take our songbooks, turn to number 162. Number 162, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Apparently everybody forgot the let's stand as we sing. Maybe I didn't say that. I thought I did. Maybe I didn't. I'm losing it. I lost it. Something. I don't know. Number 162, to God be the glory.
To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Who yielded his life an atonement for sin. And hope and the life gave that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth
Good morning and welcome to the services of Ottumwa Baptist Temple. We are glad that you are here today. Do we have any first-time visitors with us? Anybody here for the very first time? Got some visitors. We see some different family members that are in, some connected with the holidays and other things, but we're glad that you are here today. And I have a thank you note here from Mrs. Watley, dear Pastor Decker and church family. I want to tell you all that I praise God for each of you. Thank you for all of the beautiful cards, gift cards, gifts, and donations. You have all been a great blessing to me. God bless you. Sincerely, from the very least among you, Mrs. Wanda Watley. So it's a blessing to be a blessing, and it's a blessing to be a help sometimes when people are in need. And so we want to watch out and be watching out for those things. Just so you know, I'm not shaking your hands today because what's been going around has finally made it my direction. And so it is not because I don't like you, and it is not because I am mad at you. It is just simply for your benefit. I just want to make a mention of that as well. We do welcome those listening as well by radio and by live stream. It's always best to be in the house of the Lord, but I'm so thankful we've run into elderly people that we knock on doors and they'll say, hey, I listen to you every Sunday on the radio or this, that, and they can't physically make it out anymore, but we can still be a blessing. So we're glad that we have that available. It should never be used as an excuse to miss church. But if you have health problems or you're struggling or you're sick, boy, it's a great blessing to be able to have that and have that available. So we do welcome all of those as well. Father, we ask that you would help us this morning We are here. We desire to hear from you, from your word. We desire to have your Holy Spirit convict us, rebuke us, correct us, encourage us. Father, whatever you have for us today, I pray that you would work effectively in our hearts. I pray, Father, that we would have ears to hear right now. God, that we would enjoy the music and singing your praises. God, incline our hearts toward you this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I do want to add my thanks, our family's thanks for the Christmas gift that the church gave us. And I do want to say thank you to the church and everybody that also gives gifts or gave gifts to not just me, but my family. It is a blessing to me to know that you all love my family and take care of them. It really is. I don't know quite how to say that, but it just is. It touches my heart to know that you love them and take care of them. That's just great. Let's take our hymnal, turn to number 178. Number 178, Jesus Loves Even Me. This song really has a special place in my heart. I remember growing up, Mom would sing this song, mostly the first verse and the chorus, over and over, and she'd go through the whole list of the family. Jesus, I am so glad that Jesus loves Daddy, Jesus loves Mommy, Jesus loves, and all of the brothers, right? And so it's, I always love singing this song, but we're going to sing it the real words. Don't add all your family in there for today, okay? Number 178, Jesus Loves Even Me.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
as we sing the third, but I want us to think about it. Jesus does love us. So as the choir song said, what will you do with Jesus? He loves you. If you're not saved, he loves you. What are you going to do with him? If you are saved, he loves you. Isn't that great? He just loves everybody. He loves us enough to say, you need to stop sinning and come to me. Not stop sinning. I want to help you stop sinning is more what he says, right? If you come to me, he will in no wise cast you out, but he will give you the power to overcome sin because he overcame sin. So what will you do with this Jesus that loves even you? Let's sing it out on the third.
Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Even me.
Thank you. You can be seated.
Well, that second verse, though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. And then the idea of back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. Anybody ever been astray and you realize God still loves me? I'm coming back. And that is always the prayer when we see people that are astray.
Yes.
Look, God still loves you. Yes. God wants you back. Would you come back? And that's the goal always is for people to come back to the Lord. Maybe you're listening today by radio and you have strayed away from the Lord. It's time to come back.
Right.
Time to come back. And we need to be doing that. This evening, we will have the ordination service for Nathaniel, and that we had the questioning yesterday and grilled him for about 3.5 hours, and tonight we will have the ordination service for him, so it will be a special service, and then following that, we'll have some cake and ice cream downstairs, so try to come out for that and be a part of that, and it'll be a blessing, and just to see what that is like. So last one we had was November of 2021, when we sent Adam Batterson out. And so it's a blessing to be able to, from time to time, send someone out from our church family to go and serve and work either in another church or to start a church or to be a missionary, whatever it may be. We don't like to lose people, but we like for people to go out and accomplish things for God in other places. And so that's a blessing. And as God leads and God directs, that's what we will do. And then New Year's, sometimes we do a December 31st thing. This year we are going to do Wednesday evening, and that'll be on the 1st. And so we'll have our service at 7 o'clock, and we'll have just a little bit of a shorter service. And then we've got roughly an hour, about 63 minutes or so film that deals with a medical missionary, and it's based on true events. It's a reenactment, but it's based on true events, a medical missionary and some of the struggles that they dealt with. And so I think it'll be a blessing, encouragement to you. And then following that, we will have some food and snacks. And then after that, basically, if you're welcome to leave. Look, you don't have to stay for the film. If you want to come for the service and then leave, you can do that. If you want to stay for the film and then leave, you can do that. If you want to stay for the food and then leave, you can do that. If you want to stay later than that and play some games and things for a while, you can do that. So you can choose where the cutoffs are, but try to come on Wednesday for the service, and we will have a time of prayer in there just asking God for his help coming into the new year. And I think that's important to start out the new year seeking God and seeking what God has for us for that year. Okay, we're going to have a special at this time, and then following the special, Brother Elijah Barrick is going to have his testimony for us this morning.
Thank you.
Jesus made each star in heaven. He created earth and sea. He's the keeper of all knowledge, what is past and what will be. Yet he offers his great wisdom, so you will not lose your way. Like a lamp, it glows every step. It shows you can know his will each day. Trust his word. All God's promises are true. Trust his word. When your pathway disappears, when your joy gives way to tears, when you're plagued with doubts and fears, trust his word.
He is not a distant stranger. He can be our closest friend, and he'll always listen closely when you share your heart with him. Jesus walks the path beside you. He has been there all along, and he'll guide your feet when your step is weak and your strength is almost gone.
Trust his word.
Trust his word.
All God's promises are true. Trust his word. When your pathway disappears, when your joy gives way to tears, when you're plagued with doubts and fears, trust his word.
As Pastor said, my name is Elijah Barrick. I'm from Susquehanna Valley Baptist Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And the point I want to give this morning is that you can be sure of your salvation. 1 John 5:13 says that the word of God is given to us that we may know that we have eternal life. In John 10, the scripture reads, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I grew up in a home where both of my parents were saved, and they sought to raise us all. I had six siblings, but they sought to raise us all to know Christ as our Savior and to live for him. At the age of 5 years old, I trusted Christ as my Savior. But I proceeded then for the next 10 years to doubt my salvation. What did I mean what I prayed? Did my prayer work? What was I trusting in? Did I say the right words? My problem was twofold. First, I doubted because I was not living obediently to God's word. I was living according to how I wanted to live. It wasn't like I was living a life of dissolute wickedness. I was rather choosing to fulfill my desires rather than God's desires, which he so plainly gives in his word. Continual disobedience to God will always be a breeding ground for doubting him. The second reason I doubted was because I was trying to find something tangible, a tangible evidence of to prove to me that I was saved. The problem with that is, I would never find it. My salvation is not determined by remembering when I got saved. It is not determined by remembering the words that I said. It's definitely not determined by what others tell me. Rather, my salvation is determined by who I put my faith in. It's determined, my salvation is not predicated on my faith in what I did. It is completely predicated on who I put my faith in. It has to be completely in Christ. Salvation is solely a work of God. If I determined on my memory for my salvation, that is taking it out of God's hands and putting it into my own. And there will come a day when I won't possibly be able to even remember when I was saved. I'm human, but God is not. I can fully trust him, not only at the initial point of salvation, but for my eternal security. It is the word of God alone that can give assurance of salvation to the believer. That is what the believer must rest in. And oh, how sweet it is to know, according to John, that nothing will ever be able to pluck me out of my Father's hand, because he is greater than all. Because of God's word, we can be sure of our salvation.
Let's stand one more time. Turn to number 261. Number 261, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And I love how that chorus says, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's sing number 261. We'll sing the first and the last. You can be seated.
Open your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we'll begin by reading verses 27 through 36. I'm going to preach a message on taking on the characteristics of your Father. And you look at this idea, there will be three fathers mentioned in this passage of Scripture as we work our way through verse 27 through the end of the chapter. We'll begin with just verses 27 through 36. It says, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And this is just a side note, but there's a difference between being saved and being a disciple of Jesus. If you're saved, you've had your sins forgiven. You've realized you were a sinner on your way to hell. You called out to Jesus Christ and asked him to save you, and he saved you. But disciples are those that continue in his words. They're going to be living for him day by day by day by day. And so there's a variation in being a disciple and being someone who is saved. And it says, And ye shall know of the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so we look at this thought and this idea as Jesus preaches to them. There begins then this discourse where you've got people claiming to be, well, Abraham's our father. And you've got people claiming that God is their father. And Jesus is going to call them out and say, now wait a minute. If Abraham's your father, you should take on the characteristics of Abraham. If God is your father, you should take on the characteristics of God. But if the devil's your father, then you're going to have his characteristics. And so this passage is going to go into this discourse, and we'll look at it this morning. Father, I ask that you would help us. God, as we look, and I believe just looking at the crowd that we have here this morning, that most would at least have declared that they have trusted you as Savior. Maybe there is someone here that's not saved. But God, if you are our Father, we should definitely take on the characteristics that you have. And God, if there's one here that the devil is still their father, I pray that you would awaken them to your truth, that they might know the Son and be free indeed. And we ask for this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It is commonly known that children take on the characteristics of their father. Oftentimes you can look at a person, and if we were to call Othniel up here and Nathaniel up here, and specifically Nathaniel when he didn't have the beard yet, you look at Othniel and you look at Nathaniel, and if we were to call Moses up here, and we were to say, okay, here's Moses and here's Nathaniel and here's Othniel. Say, whose father is Othniel's father? I think everybody would say, it's clearly Nathaniel. It is obvious. Othniel has the characteristics of his father. Sometimes that is for better. Sometimes that is for worse. But we look at those things and we tend to take on the characteristics of our father. And in this passage, we're going to see three fathers. The first that we are going to look at is Father Abraham. Now, the man known as the father of the Hebrew race, he is claimed by both the Muslims and the Jews as being the first person called out by God that they would both consider the father of their race. The Arab nations through Ishmael and the Jews through Isaac, and there's a little bit of a disgruntledness between the two because of way back, you've got the firstborn and the promised son and the difference that took place there. But the bottom line, as we look at this passage and this discussion takes place, and they're claiming the seed of Abraham, and Jesus Christ is saying, if you're claiming to be the children of Abraham, then why don't you have his characteristics? And so let's look first at Father Abraham. Again, verse 33 through 40, the Bible says, They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now, it's interesting that they say, we were never in bondage to any man. And yet you have the Babylonian captivity, and you have the Assyrian captivity, and you had all of these time periods. And currently, right here, whose captivity are they living under? Roman captivity. We're free. Yeah, people don't really want to acknowledge how captive they are to things that they're captive to. So Jesus answered and said unto them, verse 34, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And by the way, and this is not really the focus of the message, but we can't ignore the verse, and we could preach an entire message on this verse. Sin will always keep you captive. It's never satisfied. Whatever sin you go into, sin is not, you know what? If you look at me for 5 minutes a day, that'll be enough. Or if you steal, you can just steal one time or two times and that'll be enough. Or if you take that cigarette, you can take it one time or two times and that'll be enough. Or if you take a drink, you know, I'll be satisfied with you being drunk just twice a year. Look, sin doesn't operate like that. Sin wants us in complete bondage, and it wants more and more and more and more of us. Jesus continues on, the servant abideth not in his house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And obviously, as he deals here with salvation, he deals with the idea, look, the only way to be free from sin is through Jesus Christ. When Jesus saves a person, they are immediately saved from the penalty of sin. They'll never go to hell. They are currently being saved from the power of sin in that you don't have to live under that power of that sin any longer. You have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ on your side. You can get victory over any sin, and it doesn't take some meetings or a 12-step process or whatever that may be. It takes you being surrendered to Jesus Christ and seeking His help to get victory over that sin, a sin that you could never break in your own power. If you'll go to God with prayer and fasting, He can give you deliverance from any sin. And then eventually we will be delivered from the very sin nature when we die and go to heaven and have a new body, or when the rapture takes place and we go to heaven, we get that new body, and that new body will have no desire to sin because it doesn't even have the sin nature. That's freedom. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And that's what we need. He says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith to them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. So they're claiming Abraham's our father. And Jesus is saying to them, then why don't you take on the characteristics of your father? Why don't you act like Abraham acted? Why don't you treat me with the same thought and idea that Abraham treated me? We look ahead to verse 56 in the chapter. Jesus says to them, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. See, Abraham looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. Abraham believed the promise of God. Abraham rejoiced to see the day that Jesus Christ would come, and Abraham died not having received the promise, according to Hebrews chapter 11. But Abraham, by faith, believed the promise, and Abraham did rejoice in the fact that through his seed, a Savior would come. Abraham loved Jesus, even though Abraham did not know exactly who he was. He loved the promise of his coming. Abraham rejoiced in the fact that Jesus would come. Romans chapter 4, verse 3 says this, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." See, Jesus is calling them out, and he's pointing out a couple of things to them. He's pointing out that the difference between their father and them was, number one, Abraham believed the truth that came from God. Where Jesus, when he told them the truth, they absolutely rejected it. God's word is truth. Every bit of God's word is truth. Everything that is written in the Scriptures is God's truth. And we need to understand that. Now, does sometimes the truth of God step on our toes? Sure it does. Does sometimes the truth of God call us to account? Does it sometimes make us uncomfortable? Does it sometimes point out our sin? Is sometimes when it's pointing out our sin, we plain don't like it. Sure. And boy, I'll tell you, the pride that can grow up in the human person. Well, I'm doing pretty good. How dare you say that I'm wrong in this area? If God's word says it, God's word is truth. Whether we like it or don't like it, or whether we agree with it or don't agree with it, God's word is truth. And so Jesus Christ is pointing them out, and he tells them, "I have told you the truth." Verse 40, he says, "Now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God." He says, this did not Abraham. See, while they were claiming to be physical descendants of Abraham, they had no semblance of being spiritual descendants of Abraham. See, we have fathers physically, and we take on their characteristics. I notice to this day, I do things, I have mannerisms. There are things that sometimes I do with my hands, and as I'm doing them, I'm like, my dad used to do that. When our kids were growing up, they would sometimes do something with their hands or they would say something, and my wife and I would look at each other and say, which one of us does that? And we wouldn't know because it was subconscious actions. But then after the kids began to do it, one of us would do it and say, oh, it's you, or oh, it's me. And we would find out that we did things because we watched those things take place in our children. They take on our characteristics. Physically, these people were descendants of Abraham. Physically, they may have had the characteristics of Abraham. But in our lives, sometimes we have spiritual fathers, people that brought us along to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not bad to take on spiritual characteristics of spiritual fathers. Jesus is calling them out saying, you don't look at all like Abraham. You're not rejoicing that Messiah has come. You're not believing the truth of the Word of God. He says, you're claiming to be Abraham's seed, and I'm not seeing it. And then, coming off of that discussion, he says, in fact, you're looking a little bit more like a different father. And he brings it out in verse 41. We continue reading and we get to the second father seen in the chapter, which is the devil himself. He says in verse 41, they said to him, ye do the deeds of, or he says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So they're having this back and forth. He says, you don't seem like your father Abraham. And they point out and says, your mother wasn't married when she conceived you. we think you were born of fornication. See, they're trying to take, the truth is hurting them. What are they going to do? They're going to go on the attack. The truth is convicting them, and so they're going to take, and they're going to try to call him out for something else. They're going to say, you are fatherless. You were born in fornication. We weren't born in fornication like you were. Obviously, we know that Jesus Christ was conceived of God the Father, the Holy Spirit working in Mary. He had no human father. He was not born of fornication. It was virgin born. He was virgin. He had a virgin birth. And then they say, we have one father, even God. And Jesus continues, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. He says, now you're claiming that God is your father, so let's go. Let me see the characteristics. You claim that God is your father, and he says, God loves me. You don't love me. He says, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it. He said, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? So now Jesus calls it into question, says, now you're saying that God is your father. He says, I'm not seeing the characteristics. God is truth. You don't love truth. God sent me. You're rejecting me. He says, in fact, when I'm looking at you, I'm seeing the characteristics of a different father. Let me describe him for you. His name is the devil. He is Satan. He was a murderer. You're trying to kill me. You want to put me to death. By the way, Jesus knew their thoughts. They had not even openly yet tried to put him to death, but he knew their plots and he knew what they were planning and plotting. And he says, you're trying to kill me. Well, where's that come from? Satan. Satan was a murderer. He says, you reject the truth. Well, Satan rejects the truth. In fact, he's the father of all lies. He says, as I take into consideration and I analyze you and I look at you and I look at your life, he says, you're claiming Abraham, you're claiming God, but he says, what I'm seeing, Satan is your father. You don't have the spiritual characteristics of Abraham, and you don't have definitely the spiritual characteristics of God the Father. You're lost. You're not saved. You're still carrying in you the characteristics of Satan. Satan is your father. Now, they didn't like that very well. And so they come back at him once again because they hate the truth. And instead of allowing the truth to convict them, and instead of them looking at it and saying, maybe we do need God. Maybe we do need to be saved. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, in truth, we have been plotting his murder. Yes, in truth, we have rejected the truth and we've been more focused on lies. And instead of doing that, they take a more hateful position and they make the statement there in verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, So now they're saying, not only were you born of fornication, but your father was a Samaritan. And Mary was a Jew, and therefore she didn't want to tell anybody who your father really was. Ultimately, that's what they're doing now. And then they say, you say, the devil's our father. You have a devil. It's the case of when a person, instead of when they are reproved for their sin, accepting that and acknowledging that and letting that conviction sink in and repenting of the sin, it's the case of, I'm in sin, so I'm going to try to find something wrong with you. It's the case, sometimes I say it's this, we often use the phrase, the pot calling the kettle black. I often see people where it's the pot calling the dinner plate black. It's the dirty kettle that's been over the campfire that you rub your hand on, and it's got all this greasy soot on the outside, and oh, this dinner plate has a little smudge on it. And look, a person that is wrong and being convicted, they'll find the little smudge in your life to try to justify the sin that's in their life. And a person can be as wicked can be, and guess what? They'll be able to find the smudge in your life. And so here these people are, children of the devil. They have the characteristics of their father. Murderous plots, lying, rejecting the truth. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm calling you out. I'm pointing out that you're carrying on the characteristics of your father, the devil. And then we get to understanding the devil as a murderer, understanding the devil as a liar, but the devil tries to take everything good that God has made and corrupt it. It doesn't matter what it is. You take marriage all the way back in the Garden of Eden. The devil comes along and takes something that God made that's beautiful and perfect and right and good, and he'll corrupt it. You take the genders that God made, the wonderful creation of man and the wonderful creation of woman, and both having their unique traits, both created great, and Satan will try to corrupt that. You take the idea in the Old Testament of the representative form of bringing the lamb, and Satan will create an altogether different religion and where people are sacrificing babies on altars. It doesn't matter what God does. Satan wants to corrupt it. Satan will change it. Satan will bring about a complete opposite of what God does. And then we get to the third father, which is God the Father. Chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, Jesus lays out very clearly that he has the characteristics of his father. Verse 28 and 29 says, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he." Jesus already knows they're going to put him on a cross. He already knows what's happening in the future. He says, "And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. And the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that" what? "Please him." Jesus starts out this whole conversation with, "I please my Father." We see after he points out to them that they're of their father, the devil. Verse 45, he says, "I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." And then he says this statement, "Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" He says, "Go ahead." You know, Jesus is the one person that had no smudges. He was the 100% clean dinner plate. He was the one where they literally could not point anything out in his life. If they could have pointed anything out in his life, boy, they sure would have. And so instead of being able to point out something in his life, they tried to go back to his birth and say that his birth was incorrect because they didn't believe Isaiah and the prophecy of Isaiah that there would be a virgin birth. So they tried to attack him in something that he had absolutely no part in because they could not find anything wrong in his life. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Jesus was sinless. Jesus had every characteristic of his Father. Verse 47 through 59, he that is of God heareth God's words. So here he is, he's saying, okay, you say God's your Father? Do you hear God's words? Do you love God's word? And we're going to get practical here as we go into this, because how many of you here, you would say today at this moment, I am saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that my sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. Okay, that is going to be the vast majority of everybody that's here. So how many of you, as a result of that, you say, well, God is my heavenly Father. And so I'm going to ask you, as he points out to them, he that is of God heareth God's words. Do you love the word of God or do you reject the word of God? Ye therefore hear them not because ye are not of God. You know what? I don't call people, you know, if a person tells me I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that I take them at face value. I don't know whether a person is saved or not. But I know this. If a person tells me, I'm saved, God is my Father, then shouldn't they love the Word of God? Look, how many of you, and I want to say this in this way. I like it when God's Word convicts me. Now, I don't necessarily like to be convicted, but I like when God's Word actually convicts me. I like it when the preaching of God's Word, through this preaching of God's Word, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, you need to work on that. I like that. I need that. It's not always fun, but it's necessary. So when we hear the preaching of the Word of God and it points out something that's wrong in our lives, do we like that or do we reject that? Do we say, yeah, that may hurt, but I need it? Or do we say, you know what? No, I ain't taking any part of that. The characteristics of our Father. He that is of God heareth God's word. Verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil. I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. He says, I'm honoring God. And by the way, when you live for God, you're honoring God. And if you keep his commandments, you are his friend, as we saw as we dismissed the kids in Sunday school. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Jesus says, I just want to bring glory to God. And as children of God, we should want to bring glory to God. We should reject trying to bring glory to ourselves. Every one of us has to watch that from time to time. It's very easy for us to want to bring glory to ourselves, to want to brag ourselves up, to want to tell how good we are at something. Look, let's just bring glory to God. Verse 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. They're just not getting it. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? They asked. Art thou greater than Abraham? Yep. He's Jesus. He's God the Son. Well, you asked for it, so here goes. I'm going to give you some more truth. And by the way, Abraham was alive. Well, Abraham's dead. Nah. Abraham was alive. So were the prophets. At this time, they were in a place referred to in the Bible as Abraham's bosom, alive and well, on the other side of the great gulf, where other people were dead and not well. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Well, you asked, God is my Father. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto him, verily, unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, they knew what that meant. They knew when Moses says, who art thou, and whom shall I say hath sent me? And God said, I am that I am. And Jesus made the statement, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus had both the characteristics of God, his Father, and Jesus had the characteristics of Abraham in being the seed of Abraham. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 16 through 18. It says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. Could Jesus have showed up looking like a man without taking on the seed of Abraham? Sure he could have. Angels showed up looking like men several times throughout the Old Testament. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. For what purpose? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. As the Son of God, as the Son of the Father, he is able to reconcile us to the Father because he perfectly represents God. Jesus had every characteristic, he has every characteristic of the Father. As the Son of Abraham, he is able to succor. When you're tempted, that word succor means to run to the aid of. Do you know what? When you're tempted to do wrong, Jesus is ready to do a sprint to help you out. You think about somebody who the ladder slips out from under them and they're hanging by the drain spout. What would you be doing? Hopefully you would be sprinting to get that ladder back up under them. Right? And when you are at the point where you're about to give in to temptation, look, if you want Jesus' help, I'd say Jesus is pretty fast. He's there. Ultimately, what happens, we sin because we want to. It's not that Jesus isn't able to succor. He is able. And sometimes we hate the very fact that we do it. And it's this battle of the flesh. But ultimately, it's a choice. So as we look at these three fathers, you've got Father Abraham, you've got the devil, and you got the Heavenly Father, God the Father. I want to ask you today to take a look at your life. And when other people look on, are you spiritually, if you will, a descendant of Abraham? Do you rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have the characteristics of Abraham? I'm not asking if you're an Israelite. That's completely different altogether thing. And no, we didn't replace Israel. Do you have the characteristics of God, your Heavenly Father? Or do you have the characteristics of Satan? See, if we're going to say, God is our Father, Jesus says, I want to see the characteristics. Never should a born-again child of God, adopted into the family of God, made to be one of His children, the world should not be able to look at us, and other Christians should not be able to look at us and say, you know what, I'm seeing more of the characteristics of the old father, the devil. Where are we at? These people were claiming to be spiritual. They were claiming Abraham as their father. They were claiming God as their father. Jesus says, no. He says, you're not even saved. You're still of your father, the devil, and you still have his characteristics. Now, when we're born of God, unfortunately, we still have this old nature. But it shows us, if we're going to claim God as our Father, shouldn't we take on His characteristics? Shouldn't we be like Him? And if we are rejecting the devil as our Father, having trusted Christ, shouldn't we do away with His characteristics? And may God help us, because ultimately, we need God to work in our lives to accomplish this. Who is your Father? As we come to the invocation today, I want to ask you this. Is God your Father, or is the devil still your father? If you've never been saved, Satan is still your father. You're a sinner on your way to hell, and you need Jesus Christ. He's the only way of escape. If you're saved, do you have the characteristics of your Father? Do you love the Word of God? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you take and seek and accept the truth? Something for us to consider and accept. Let's stand to our feet. Father, as we come to the invitation now, Lord, your word has been preached. I trust that your Holy Spirit has worked. God, I ask you would help us to be responsive to the truth of the word of God. Help us to take consideration and help us to take on the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, I encourage you, if you need to come and talk to the Lord, would you do so? Maybe there's a specific area that you're looking at and say, you know what? I've still got the characteristics of the devil when I should have the characteristics of God. We're going to make a claim that God is our Father. Jesus says, I want to see the characteristics. I want to see the fruit. How do you react when you're corrected? Father, we thank you for your word. God, we see the corruption and the rejection that you have of false claims. God, I pray and I ask, Lord, that you would help. God, it may be that in this very room right now, there's someone that's still a father of the devil. They're not saved yet. They haven't called out to you to be saved. God, I pray that you would work and help them to trust you. But then, God, help all of those who claim that you are their Father, all of us, God, to take on your characteristics. God, help us to actively pursue to be like you. God, help us to continue in your word, to love your word, to receive your word, to live by your word, as that is listed as being a primary characteristic of knowing you. God, give us that ability. God, help us as we come back tonight for the service. God, bless the service, please. God, give us a good afternoon. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.